Done, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Rhonda Fanning is joining me in our downtown Milwaukee studios, and this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. Our goal is to keep bringing you discussions with people like Eric Simonson, who will join us in a moment, who has done something very important. He's done a lot of things that are important, but we're going to talk to him about the HBO documentary coming up in May that he has done on one of my all-time favorite people, Studs Terkel. Thank God for Studs Terkel, and thank God for Eric Simonson for keeping alive Studs' work and his importance in being a historian, an oral historian, a listener to people of the 20th century. Eric is also the playwright, and he has the show Lombardi on Broadway right now. So, and he's from Milwaukee. So we're going to be talking to Eric about Studs in just one moment. I'm really looking forward to this interview. And we do this with listener contributions. That's how we get rolling here. We need your gift in any amount right now, and it will make a big difference as we raise the money we need to make these discussions possible. Please give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hello, Rhonda.
Hi, Kathleen. Last hour, the goal was 55 pledges, and we heard from 38 listeners. So thank you for everyone who pledged last hour. This hour, we have another goal of 55 pledges. These hourly goals are extremely important. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussions going strong on Wisconsin Public Radio. So please take a moment right now and give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And in just a moment, Eric Simonson will be joining us to talk about Studs Terkel in this wonderful documentary that looks at the life of Studs, that has Studs hold forward on a number of different issues. It's going to be wonderful. And discussions like these on the Ideas Network are possible because of your financial support. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this hour only, we have an added incentive for your good deed at pledging at WPR.org. We have something special. It's a copy of the HBO documentary.
Yes.
For a pledge of $75, you're going to get a copy of this wonderful documentary. I was watching it yesterday trying to grab some clips for today's show, and all of a sudden I heard Kathleen's voice, and I thought it was coming from The Office, but I realized it was coming from the documentary, one of Studs' last interviews. How old was he at the time?
90? He must have been 95.
Mm-hmm. And he was in a studio in Chicago, and we were here, and they had your voice being piped through, and he was sitting there doing the interview for his last book. And it was just amazing to have those two worlds collide. But it's an amazing documentary. I think everyone should see it. You can get your copy by pledging this hour for $75 at 888-202-2552 or going to WPR.org.
We save this until the last because I'm not pledging tomorrow. So this is our special gift for you. And we thank HBO, too, for making this available for a pretty good pledge amount. Because you want to keep Studs Terkel alive. He was, and it brought tears to my eyes. He frequently brings tears to my eyes anyhow when I read about him. But when I saw him, I didn't see him on the other side of the microphone, and he was in Chicago. And when I looked at how he was concentrating, he looked frail, but his ideas were so strong. And then he got up and said, I have to go home now. And now I'm going to cry. And he did. He was a great man. So please pledge this hour. I hope you just pledge in large numbers. You're going to love the DVD. It's Listening to America, Studs Terkel, $75 pledge, and we'll send it to you. And it'll be something that you can pass along too, because you want to keep his memory alive forever.
Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio today is one of the best things you can do with 3 minutes of your time. So just give us your name, contact information, how much you would like to give, and how you would like to pay. Whether you call or pledge online, we keep your personal information safe. And with your gift, again, this hour of $75, we're going to send you a copy of that HBO documentary on Studs Terkel. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you very much, Rhonda. We're going to be talking about Studs now, and just so I really urge all of you to pledge if you can and see this documentary about him, because you know, he really gave us a history through the ears and eyes of people who lived through the 20th century and ordinary people, but people who, as he says at one point in this documentary, there were always two or three people in a community who had a special kind of insight, people who got it. And he documented those for all of us. And, you know, miraculously, he was a pretty radical guy. The ideas caught on, and he caught on. I grew up in Chicago, and my mom used to watch Studs all the time on his Chicago shows and was a great fan of his. And it was a pleasure to have a chance to meet him on several occasions. So this hour, Eric Simonson, a native of Milwaukee, this all goes together this hour, author of the Broadway show Lombardi, which is based on David Marinus's book. David, another wonderful contribution to the world from the state of Wisconsin. Eric has directed a new documentary on Studs Terkel, who we would like to call our chief listener, which airs in May on HBO. And Eric is our guest now on the Ideas Network. We'll be welcoming phone calls on the air for him. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Hi, Eric.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you so much for being with us. And you're from Milwaukee to boot. That's just great.
Yeah.
I saw the documentary last night and was so moved by it, and I miss him every day. I just wish he could have lived to be, you know, 500 years old, so
yeah, I know.
He could have documented.
I was looking at they're doing a production of Working in Chicago, I found out, and I just read an article on it, and there was a photo of Studs, and I started missing him, too.
Yeah. But I'm glad, but then I didn't miss him as much because I realized after seeing your work that I can see it over and over again, which is great. I didn't realize that Working had become a staple of a lot of high schools now for their drama productions.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those, you know, Bye Bye Birdie, Working, Fiddler on the Roof. Yeah.
You, tell me how old Studs was when you started talking to him, Eric.
You mean for the documentary?
Yes.
Oh, boy. I guess he was 95, going on 96.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. We started, you know, for this particular documentary, it was 95. And then his health was really failing, and he passed away before we finished in the fall of 96.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, fall of... Was that 2006, I think, or 2007, I can't remember.
When you see the documentary, it makes you realize the enormity of what he did, the contribution he made to ordinary people's lives and to documenting such an incredible century. It was a century. This man was born in 1912.
Yeah. The day that the Titanic sank, he likes to remind people. The Titanic went down, and he came up. So, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm
on a cell phone, so you never know. But anyway, yeah, he lived decades and decades, and he witnessed the entire century. I don't know if he remembered World War One much, but World War Two definitely lived through the Depression and then on through the... 50s, kind of came into his own later in his years when he was in his 50s, writing his oral histories. But yeah, he saw everything.
He really was a very courageous guy. He says, you know, he is self-deprecating in your documentary, but it couldn't have been an easy thing. He was at the top of his career in Chicago. He was being noticed nationally. And he's a victim of Joseph McCarthy. He loses his job.
Yes, he says he was graylisted. It didn't really come after him the way they did, like the Hollywood Ten. But he did sign, as he said, he signed certain petitions. You know, if somebody was petitioning for something he thought was wrong, he signed those papers. And an executive from one of the studios came to him and said, you know, would you better not sign those things? And he refused. So the next year's show is off the air.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't make a whole lot of that. Other people had to say how courageous he was. Other people had to speak for him in the film, didn't they?
Yeah, I think that, you know, in light of what happened to others, careers who, you know, lives that were destroyed, people had to move out of the country and live in Europe. I mean, just horrible things happened to him. So in comparison, I think Spetz really didn't feel much like a martyr or a hero in that regard. He was able to bounce back and, you know, he survived.
And, oh, the people he spoke with. Oh, I saw the documentary and it made me think I need to get some of those so that I can just listen to them again. Martin Luther King and James Baldwin, and he tells this funny thing about Gauguin's son who came to Chicago and he interviewed him. I didn't know what the guy was saying, but it's okay. It worked out fine.
Yeah, I know. We caught him on tape doing that. The thing was, he interviewed a lot of people who were important later on. That Martin Luther King interview came very early on in Martin Luther King's career, and he caught a lot of people that you would never know or never think to interview. And all those tapes are archived in Chicago, I think, at the Museum of Broadcasting down there. Thousands of hours of tapes, and it is really kind of, I mean, he wrote his books, and those are in print, but that is really the major part of his oral history. And luckily, a lot of those interviews have been transcribed and put into collections of tapes that are in best of, you know, Studs Terkel. And the other thing is that he had this, everybody acknowledged him as this expert interviewer. He was able to get things out of people that other interviewers just could not get. And as I was interviewing people for the documentary over and over again, this came up. You know, John Sayles said it, and many others, that he came to every interview prepared. He,
yes.
If you had written a book, he had not only read the book, but it was dog-eared, and there are things underlined and highlighted, and the pages were ruffled. He had spent time with that book and researched the book and you and knew it backwards and forwards.
And he had a way of, I'm sorry.
Oh, John, I love John Sayles' story that he tells in the film where he's being interviewed, he gets an idea for a song that would fit in reference to something that was said in the interview, and he'd write something down on a piece of paper while he was interviewing you, hand it to an assistant, and then they'd go back into the station's archives and find this very obscure 1920s jazz recording. And Studs would segue into that, and then the interview would end or go on a break as you listen to that piece of music.
And it even influenced when he was talking to James Baldwin. They were listening to Bessie Smith, and James Baldwin starts talking about "She Sings the Way I Would Like to Write," which I thought was lovely.
Yeah.
The tool of his trade, he would always say, and it's on his... It's how he wants people to think of him. A curiosity never killed this cat. His curiosity about absolutely everything. He was also very widely read and a really smart guy. But he found the intelligence in all kinds of people. This really, you know, people are smart in different ways in so many different professions. And I love that about him. I just love that about him. He saw it in so many people.
Yeah, it's part of his, life's philosophy is that everybody's had something to say.
Yes.
And everybody's life is worthwhile, and you only really had to ask the right questions and search for that something that was in somebody. And that was the other, you know, he interviewed a lot of celebrities, but he interviewed ordinary people. He didn't like that term. People who were not celebrities. And he found that by asking the right questions and spending time with them and respecting them, you know, not only just asking the right questions, but asking them with a certain amount of respect, that he would get fascinating things out of them, stories, opinions, and not just their opinions, but why they felt that way, which is more important, I think, than the opinion itself.
Somebody in your documentary says that watching him in the interview process was like watching jazz or listening to jazz.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
David Schwimmer actually said that, and people were surprised when I had David on the documentary. But, you know, David's a Chicago guy, and I spent a lot of time in Chicago. And that's how a lot of people got to know that you just kind of had to be in Chicago.
Exactly.
And studs would find you. I mean, you didn't you didn't go out and look for studs. Studs would find you, and he'd ask you about the show and ask questions. And that's how I got to know studs, and that's how David got to know studs. And the reason why he referenced jazz, well, first of all, jazz was such a huge influence in Studs' life. He loved jazz. He started out as a DJ for a jazz program, radio program in Chicago. And you kind of felt like when you were being interviewed by him that you were riffing with him. You know, that he wasn't just asking you a yes or no question, or he wasn't asking you the questions that everybody, you know, on your book tour or whatever was asking you. He was kind of like, he was really listening to what you were saying, and he was riffing off of that. He was taking that and he was making out something else into it, and that took you to another place, and that inspired you to answer in a different way. I think that's what he meant.
Yeah. We're going to welcome phone calls for you, Eric. Eric Simonson is our guest. He is a playwright, and he is the director of the HBO documentary coming up in May on Studs Terkel, which is just lovely. It is, I can't tell you how heartening it is to see Studs again and hear him talk about his life and remember the contributions that he made to all of our lives, into the individual lives that he documented. So a couple things I want to tell you. One is, this is a special hour for us because if you pledge, and Studs would be proud, it's not a huge amount we're asking. HBO has been generous. Eric is generous with his time. Studs was always generous with everything about him. For a $75 pledge, we're going to send you this documentary, which I know I've been talking to you guys for 18 years. I know you're going to like it. Can I say that? I just know you're going to like it. So pledge, please. And the pledge number is one that you probably know by now, 888-202-2552. Or you can go to WPR.org. And we'll be happy to send you for $75 this documentary. So it's a unique hour in many ways. To your phone calls for Eric in a moment, this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Eric Simonson is our guest. He is the filmmaker of the program on Studs Terkel, Studs Terkel Listening to America, airing in May on HBO. He also, this guy is rolling right now. His play Lombardi, based on Vince Lombardi, opened on Broadway in the fall of 2010 and is doing very well. And it's based on another fine Wisconsinite's book, David Meredith's book on Lombardi. So let's welcome phone calls. Karen from Door County is our first caller, Eric. Hi, Karen.
Hi. Hi, Eric. I'm Eric's sister.
Oh, you are? Hi, Karen.
I actually didn't know he'd be on the program today, except that yesterday I was listening to NPR and heard it, so I thought I'd give a call. I'm mainly familiar with Studs Terkel's book Working, which was also made into a musical at one point, and it's a collection of interviews with America's working class. I was wondering if Eric had an idea what Studs might say about what is happening in Madison the past few weeks. Just kind of curious what his reaction might have been.
Well, you know, he was hi, Karen. Studs is a champion of the working man, and Oz fighting for rights for the working man. I think, you know, I was thinking about this, actually, because I've been following what's been going on in Wisconsin, and thinking about Studs, too. I think he'd be probably camping out in the Capitol this minute.
He probably would be, and he'd be getting some great stories from people, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would.
Great stories.
Yeah.
And actually, that's been one of his legacies. When you look at the internet right now to hear the stories, a lot of people on YouTube who've been saying why they're there and who they are and introducing us to their families, it really is hard to not be moved by people's stories.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's particularly keen on that and able to get to the heart of somebody's stories. And you know, he was also concerned with their nobility. I mean, he's
right.
He saw these folks as very noble people, particularly, you know, his book about the Great Depression called Hard Times. He met a lot of people who went through a lot of hurtful times. With wounded prides who opened up to Studs and told their stories in a very, you know, emotional way.
Mm-hmm. Karen, are you a playwright too?
No, I'm actually a costume designer.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
Oh.
So
Eric and I get to see each other every once in a while when we work together.
Oh, nice. Well, I hope he gets to visit you in Door County. That's a nice place to go.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm going to be there this weekend, actually.
Great. Thank you. Thanks for calling in, Karen.
Thank you.
That's kind of fun. She didn't even know you were going to be on the air until she heard it yesterday.
I know.
About that. One of the books that he did, and I know that people asked him year after year, you know, Studs, you got to do a book on death. And I think he didn't want to deal with death particularly. And when his wife was very sick, he started thinking a whole lot more about it, and I think you do think about it more when you get a little bit older. And he wrote a book, I'm sure it's true for other people, but that helped me after my mother died more than anything that I had read, anything. It was just so well done. I don't know if it was a big seller for him or not, Eric, but I'm so glad he did that book.
Unbroken?
Yeah, it's a great book.
I haven't read that one, but yeah, I mean, I've heard really great things about it. And that was the other thing about Studs, is that he was able to, I think, get to the, you know, he had his ear to the ground and kind of like was able to get to the zeitgeist of, I think, what was on people's mind. You know, the Good War came out before we heard all that about the Greatest Generation. He was writing about stories from World War II long before that, or just before that.
Right.
So he always seemed to have a knack for writing about the things that just coincidentally people started, you know, collectively to think about.
Mm-hmm. And he was also pretty upset with people that we had this short attention span, that our collective memory was so long. I know in your documentary he talks about the Great Depression, that people didn't even know it had happened. I'm writing this because people didn't know what had happened. It's not in our collective memory anymore.
Yeah, and that was really, when he started these oral histories, he was on a mission. He went around the country and he realized, his first book was Division Street. And he did that reluctantly. He had a very good publisher in New York who encouraged him, Andre Schifrin, who encouraged him to do these interviews. He wanted to do an oral history of the city of Chicago. So Studs went and did Division Street. And as he wrote these stories, he realized that people had a very short memory for things that had happened in the recent past, in particular great events like the Great Depression, so that when he ran into teenagers in the early 70s, a lot of them didn't know what he was talking about. And he felt like a lot of the histories that they were reading were from the point of view of the rich and the powerful. We weren't really getting the story from the ground up. We were getting the story from those who were looking down. So that was part of his mission. I think he was pretty successful at it.
Yeah. Eric Simonson, our guest, he is the director of a show that you will see on HBO. And you can see it if you pledge $75 this hour as well. Studs Terkel, Listening to America.
I am convinced the kind of person I find or look for is in every community, that one person or two. anywhere in the world. They're called by her first name or his first name, whom they know all their lives. But that added insight. Insight is what that person had.
And that's Studs Terkel. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Membership Drive. I'm Kathleen Dunn. Rhonda Fanning is joining me in our Milwaukee studios. And as a regular listener to this program, you know that we had the great pleasure of interviewing Studs Terkel on several occasions. I had the great pleasure, actually, of he invited me to go to his house. And my husband and brother and I went to, it was my afternoon with Studs in Chicago. And he held forth on baseball like you wouldn't believe. He remembered players back in the 20s. My husband's a baseball reporter. He was just incredible. He was so smart and so engaged, and he was sick at the time, but he had his red socks on and his red shirt, and what an endearing man. What a great man. Well, all right, so you know that we've had him on before, and today we're asking you to put a value on our program because, you know, we're still alive and we're kicking and we're trying to hear from you. So your gift is vital to WPR. It's a big part of what keeps us going. Support this program and everything else that you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio by making a gift in any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hello, Rhonda.
Hi, Kathleen. We're still looking for another 27 pledges in the next 27 minutes or so. So maybe one a minute. That would be great. Pledges like yours keep us on track to support the programs that you count on here at WPR. Thanks if you've already given. But if you haven't, please give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And like Kathleen said, at that $75 level, you'll get a copy of the HBO documentary on Studs Terkel.
Wisconsin Public Radio keeps you informed and entertained and gives you a sense of what happened before. It expands our collective memory. We do shows on history frequently, on different presidents, on different times in history. We have Joy Cardine, Larry Mueller, Zorba Pastor, On Your Health, Car Talk, old-time radio drama, Ben Marin's, many other programs you've come to rely on.
WPR gives you a window to the world like no other. Please support the exciting mix of programs that you enjoy on this station with your contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And we'd still need to love to hear from another 25 listeners in the next 25 minutes.
We sure would, because this is special, and we saved it to this hour. Rhonda saved it until now because I'm not coming back at you with request for pledge. This is it for me for this drive. Saving Studs Terkel's DVD, Listening to America, for this hour. When you pledge $75 or more, I know you. I assure you that you are going to enjoy this production. It's a pledge that you will give that will help you support the programs, and you will enjoy this item. It's Listening to America DVD. For your pledge of $75 and your pledge of any amount, supports WPR programs. Please, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you very much, Rhonda.
Interviews came out accidentally. I was interviewing an art folk singer. His name was Richard Dyer Bennett. And a woman called up and said, "You should do that more often." I says, "Do what?" He says, "Have guests on your program like you just did." "What do you mean?" "Well, you see, when I hear you talking to that person, it's like I'm listening to two people talking. It's not one of those processed things, conversation."
Eric Simonson is our guest. That, of course, was Studs, his new documentary, Studs Terkel, Listening to America. So the whole thing started because somebody called and said, "I liked what you did. Why don't you keep doing it?" And he said, "Well, okay." It's pretty remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, then after he did that, there was an actress, and the name escapes me right now, but was working in Chicago and listened to his show. And that's, you know, if you were in Chicago and you were listening to WFMT, which was his, you know, classical radio station where he had his interview shows, you just kind of like, Studs Terkel was in the ether. You heard his interviews. He was on for, I think, 3 hours every morning, and he interviewed everybody. And it really was like, you know, you'd sit in your kitchen or, you know, in your car, and you'd listen to these two people talking, and it was just so wonderful and informative, and you'd meet a new character. So, and it was during that, I think, that this actress who lived in New York was visiting Chicago, heard Studs Terkel. She knew Andre Schifrin and said, you've got, you know, if you're looking for somebody to interview people, you've got to look up this guy, Studs Terkel. So Andre Schifrin got a bunch of his interviews, sample interviews from WFMT, listened to him, and he realized right away that Studs had a talent like no other, that he could get things out of people nobody else could.
Let's go to Tim in Appleton. Hi, Tim.
Hi. I'm not Eric's sibling, but we're old friends, so I'm very
happy
to...
Oh, you're an old friend, too.
Yeah, you're happy to hear. Eric's last documentary featured Studs Terkel. It was about Norman Corwin, who was a great radio dramatist, and I was wondering if Eric could just spend a moment making the connection between Studs and Norman and the power of radio at that time.
Boy, you know, Tim was actually in that documentary because Tim is, Tim and I discussed, I don't know if anybody knows who Norman Corwin is. I did a documentary on this guy. Studs called him the Bard of the Radio, and he wrote this this seminal radio piece called On a Note of Triumph, which celebrated victory in Europe Day in 1945. And it became the most widely listened to radio program ever in the history of radio, and people forgot about it. And you know, along the lines of Studs Terkel, I knew about the piece, and I would talk to Studs about it, and he would say, "You have to do a documentary about Norman Corwin." And I'd actually been trying to do a documentary about Studs Terkel. I don't know, about that time that I did the Norman Corwin documentary, and Studs declined. He thought that there had been too much on him already. I said, well, maybe I'll make that documentary about Norman. He said, that's what you should do. So I hunted down Norman, who is actually 2 years older than Studs, and he's, no, older than that. Norman's still alive today. He's 101.
Oh, my goodness, you're kidding.
No, but I caught him when he was a spring chicken. He was 93 when I interviewed him. And Tim, who was just on the phone, he's a professor at Lawrence University. That's where I graduated.
Oh.
And we went to school together there, and we loved Norman Corwin, and we felt like we were the only two people who knew about him. So when I did this documentary, I hunted out Tim, and Tim became one of the people I interviewed because he's kind of an expert on that time in radio, and Norman himself. And then the thing ended up winning an Academy Award.
Oh, that's one. Is there a way for us to see it now? I want to see that
it
one
is,
now.
Yeah, it's out on DVD.
Oh, great.
You have to go on the internet and hunt it down there. I don't think it's in stores, but you can buy it on the internet.
Uh-huh.
And it aired on HBO years ago, and I don't know if they ever bring it back to on-demand status.
So how did you get Studs eventually to say yes to you?
It's interesting because I have a relationship with HBO, and years after he said no to me, he had done a series of interviews with a friend of his, and that friend was unable to put a documentary together, so she went to Lucky Duck Productions, which is Linda Ellerbee's company in New York, and said, "Would you be interested in finishing this?" And they said, "Sure." And Lucky Duck went to HBO, and they said, "We have this great idea. We have all this footage of Studs Terkel." And HBO knew I had been interested in a Studs Terkel documentary, so they got in touch with me, and we all worked together.
Great. And it will be on HBO in May, right, Eric?
I'm not sure. I am. That seems right because that's when they had it on. They had it on last year about this time. I'm trying to remember if that's Studs' birthday, but that doesn't seem right. I think his birthday is in the fall.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Yeah, Chrissy will find out when his birthday is.
Can I make one more comment?
Oh, Tim, please.
Just very short. I had the pleasure of meeting Studs in the late 80s, maybe it was the early 90s. He did a talk in Milwaukee, and it was right at near your old studios in the Milwaukee Center, and had the opportunity to shake his hand. It was a real pleasure. But for whatever it's worth, Kathleen, I think you are right in line with Studs in terms of your style and the way that you have compassion and listen so well, and it's one of the reasons why I'm proud to be a listener of public radio.
Oh, Tim. Oh, thank you so much. Thank
you. And Kathleen, you're inadvertently or coincidentally, you're on my documentary.
I know I am. I was watching it last night, and there I was. I mean, he was in Chicago. He was very elderly and not feeling very well, and I was in Milwaukee, and I remember getting the call saying Studs would like to do an interview with you on his new book, and I said, really? I was so honored that he would choose us, And then when he said, when he was done and said, I have to go home now, it just made me cry, Eric, because I thought this took some doing for him to get to the studio and to concentrate. I mean, he was sharp as could be, but I felt so honored that he had chosen us. And then I saw us. I thought, oh, my gosh, this is something. You don't see me, but you hear me. I felt so honored, you know. I really did. It was
we have lots of footage of that interview. I think they taped the whole thing.
Did they really? Oh, I'd love to get my hands on that somehow. I really would. I'd love to hold on to that so I could pass that along to my kids.
I'd work that out. Okay. I don't know where the footage is right now, but I was, after we had agreed to do the documentary, I said, I know I have all this interview footage with Studs on it, but I'd like to do more. And at that point, you know, his health was really failing. But I thought it was important. You know, I wanted to ask him a few more questions.
I'm glad you did. And I'm glad that he had us look at his face, too, because it was older and it was failing. But his words. And then he ended with, and I was trying to find that list last night and didn't have time to, Sloan Coffin's prayer, yeah, which I thought was so beautiful. Do you know? Do you remember it?
It's use your head and think through it. Use your mouth and speak through it. Mm. Use your heart and set that on fire.
Mm. Oh, I like that.
I'm paraphrasing, but that one.
Yeah, I like that one.
Beautiful. It chokes me up just, you know, thinking about it.
Yeah, I like that one. And he says it when he's 96 years old, and you know he's not going to be around much longer, and it makes the words even more striking. His birthday was May 16th. He was born 1912. Oh. And your documentary airs March 5 and March 31st is what we have. March 5? Really? That's coming up real soon. Is it? It's March 5. Oh, that's what Chrissy says. This Saturday, Eric.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we got that information. Tim, thank you so much for your great call. We're talking about Studs Terkel and having a rip-roaring good time. Eric Simonson is our guest. Eric is a Wisconsin guy who's really had a splendid career here. He has won an Academy Award for... Now we're going to want to see that film that he did, he won the Academy Award for. And he's also got a show on Broadway right now, which is about Vince Lombardi. His new documentary is Studs Terkel, Listening to America. And I'm so glad he did it for all of us to see. And I should tell you that we saved this for this hour for a particular reason, because it's a treat. The documentary is important and a treat, and it's meaningful, as Studs' life was and all the books that he did. And we had the great pleasure of interviewing him on many occasions, actually. And it was a wonderful experience always. So HBO has been very nice, and if you pledge $75, you'll get a copy of Eric's new documentary, Studs Terkel, Listening to America. And you can pledge by going to WPR.org. That's WPR.org, or you can call this number, 888-202-2552. 888-202-2552. Let's go to Rick in Madison next. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Rick.
Good to speak with you. A couple of indirect connections between Studs and Wisconsin Public Radio. A fellow named Tom Vigley, son of Don Vigley, the composer of the All Things Considered theme, produced for WPR for a number of years, put out a wonderful collection of Studs recordings, which I have on cassette. I don't know
really?
On the CD yet, but also a late friend and mentor of mine, Wisconsin legend in literature and broadcasting, George Vukelic, who I was honored to produce for a few years his North Country Notebook.
Oh,
on
yes.
On public radio.
Oh.
On one of the, he was a good friend of Studs, and Studs wrote for the I guess you'd call them liner notes for one of the books, the North Country Notebook stories. Whether you're a city kid or a country boy, George is your man. Wish I would have met the guy, and I envy you the opportunity you had to do so.
Oh, thank you, Rick, so much for your call. I'm just delighted that you called.
And I've enjoyed the chats that you have with Studs.
Yeah, he was. I was just tickled to be able to speak with him at any time, and to read all of his books too. I mean, those were
indeed.
Yeah, I remember my brother giving me Working back in the 1960s, and said, "You got to read this. This is an important book." Little did I know all the books that would follow and the books that came before. But that's how I met him.
So maybe tonight we'll have to have a martini and a cigar and toast Studs.
Okay. I like it. I don't drink martinis, but I'll toast something else. Thank you. Thanks.
Good
for
to speak with you.
Yeah, great to have you call. These calls are wonderful. He did, in your documentary, he's just walking down the street meeting people. Where did he find all of these people? Was it just the fact that he was gregarious and curious and looking for people everywhere? Or how did he do it, Eric?
Talking to everybody, but I asked him the same thing. You mean for the subjects for his books?
Right.
He was like friends of a friend. He would just kind of snoop around. And pretty soon people started giving him names, and he would do his research. I mean, it's extraordinary. He would interview 150 people for a book, and only 30 of them would make the book.
Hmm.
And it was just, it seemed like exhaustive work. And then an assistant would sit there and, somebody would transcribe the interviews, every single word, and he would sit there and he would edit them, which is just a, extraordinarily time-consuming job. But he was a workaholic, you know. He got up and he was on, and then he didn't stop working until he fell asleep.
Mm-hmm. Did he change minds? My final question to you, and then we got to make some money here. I know that he was on the road, and I guess there was criticism of the book Working, which had some naughty words in it. And this woman confronts him in this very large auditorium, and I'm wondering, did he win her over? She didn't like the words.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, I remember seeing the interview. They interviewed that woman and her family afterwards, and she seemed pretty dead set on her opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to it's hard to win people over who are really, you know, putting themselves on the line like that. But the thing about Studs with his books is, generally, I think he did, you know. When people read Working, their minds were opened up to a whole world that they never knew. And he did have a lot of people say, you know, I never knew that that's how my waitress felt. And,
right.
I will tip, you know, from now on I'll make sure to leave a generous tip.
Yeah, exactly. Have a conversation. Oh, yeah. Well, Eric, it's been a treat. Thank you so much for having done this documentary, too. I'm grateful to you for it. It's so well done, and you've kept him alive and through the power of the documentary, and it does him justice, and that's a big task because it's hard to do him justice.
Well, I'm really, really happy that you're featuring it on your show and your pledge drive, and I wish you guys luck.
Thank you, Eric. Eric Simonson, he is the director of the Studs Terkel Listening to America, which does air March 5 and March 31 on HBO. We We didn't even know that. But you will be able to get it as well because it's our premium this hour. You see, we're ending on this. This was purposeful that we made it this hour. And we'll tell you more about that momentarily. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
You think freely, you're an American. I don't give a damn what your politics are. If you are enclosed by fear, that's un-American.
Studs Terkel. All right. I'm Kathleen Dunn. Rhonda Fanning is with me in our studios in Milwaukee. It's our Wisconsin Public Radio winter membership drive. And we're just happy to be here. We count on you to keep these kinds of discussions on the air. And I think you know that they're pretty unique. Make a gift of any amount right now. Help us pay for the programs you depend on. Please give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. May I thank you, Rhonda, for having the foresight to put this program on the last hour that we are pledging and be on the lookout for it. It just, it's made my week. It was great.
I was excited to find it. When the first thing when I saw that, I thought of all of our listeners, and then I thought of you, Kathleen, and reading that what work, other work Eric had done, and that he was from Wisconsin.
I know. It all worked.
Yeah. It's the perfect storm.
Yeah.
Please pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And like we've said many times, for that pledge of $75 this hour, you're going to get kind of an exclusive offer.
Mm-hmm. It is exclusive.
The take-home HBO documentary. You can watch it over and over again. You can share it amongst your friends. That Studs Terkel Listening to America for $75 this hour. We only have about 6 minutes left this hour, and your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can have a Studs Terkel party. I don't know about the martinis and the cigars. I couldn't. Although, that's what my dream was last night. The people were smoking cigars because I saw
the documentary.
And people were smoking cigars. And I thought, well, how can you do this? And then for some reason, they looked good. I don't know why I thought that. But it was in the dream. But you could have a party like that to watch this. It's only this hour, $75. The documentary is yours. Have a party. Carry on his life. WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is the number for you to call and pledge.
Public radio is inclusive. It fosters a community where individual differences are regarded with respect rather than derision. We focus on the most important events of the day rather than the most sensational. Hello, this is Neil Conan from NPR News. We present a myriad of views with an open mind to solutions. We explore issues that matter to you and present them in a way that fosters thoughtful dialogue. It's all about you because membership is the heart and soul of what we do. We know this is the kind of radio you value and support, and because listeners are our most significant source of income, we consider your thirst for factual, civil, and inclusive news as central to what we do. Public radio, where your interests are our bottom line.
And make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We hope your gift can be $75 so we can send you Studs Terkel Listening to America. Some of you might be able to do $100 or $500. Whatever the amount, it's okay. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You can consider making a contribution of $1,000.
That would be nice.
Yes, your $1,000 contribution will play a major role in supporting this station and programs that you come to rely on. Larry Mueller, Joy Cardine, Kathleen Dunn, Ben Marins. You can pay your pledge in monthly installments of about $83 a month by check, by credit card, or even better, right from your bank account. Your pledge in any amount is appreciated and will help set it up for you at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
We're looking to get, as many pledges as we can. We've had, what have we had?
We've had 83 people pledge so far.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. And your pledge right now will help keep us doing these kinds of programs, which I know are unique, but they're good. They're just good. They make us feel better, don't they? And they fill us with knowledge and meaning. We're just so darn meaningful. Make your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. $75, and we will send you the Studs Terkel DVD done by Eric Simonson.
That's right. We only have a few minutes left. And for Kathleen as well, we only have this is her last day of pledging, and she does such an amazing job. She prepares more than most people that I know for each hour of radio that she does. Today, Tim and Eric comparing her to Studs Terkel, that must have been
very good.
Yes.
That's
so,
all right.
Everything Kathleen Dunn is here for you each and every day for 2 hours a day, bringing you such important news from around the state, from across the country, from throughout the world, talking to the great thinkers of our time, bringing you interviews. One of the last interviews that Studs Terkel did in his lifetime here on WPR. How often can you pick up the phone and talk to Kathleen and her guests that she has each and every day? So please put a value on that kind of programming and pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And for this hour, again, I can't stress enough how beautiful this documentary is with Studs Terkel. So for a pledge of $75, you're going to receive a copy of that HBO documentary.
It is beautiful. And it is one of the last interviews. And that's what got me when he got up and said, I have to go home now. And that's when I just started crying because I thought that was our interview. There it was. And he had to go home now.
That's right.
And he did.
The clips and the music, the jazz music that's in the background.
Oh,
it's all great.
It's great. $75. Yes. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Thank you, Rhonda Fanning, for all you do, Chrissy Pease, and thanks, everybody, for all of your contributions and for listening.